Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chof Gimel, 23rd chapter of the second book of Divrei Hayomim. The topic of our Perek is Ataliyahu's death and the appointment of Yoash. Our Perek is 21 Pesukim long and the parallel Perek, almost word for word, can be found in Melachim Beis Perek Yud Aleph. The topic is, as we are aware of, at this point in time, Ataliyahu, who is the mother of the king Amatziah, once Amatziah is killed, she poisons all the rest of the family to take the throne for herself. However, her grandson, Yoash, is actually saved by her daughter, Yehoshaba, who now takes him and hides in the Cheder Hamitos. And that is the only reason he succeeds, and this is where our story continues. So the Pesukim tell us in the first 11 Pesukim of our Perek that 7 years into the Malchus of Ataliyahu, at this point Yehoyada made a plan. Yehoyada seems to be the Kohen Gadol, and he gathers a group of the Sarei Meos, the leaders of the people. Their names are Azariah ben Yerocham, Yishmael ben Yehoi ben Yehochanan. And we hear about Azariah ben Oved and Masayahu. So we have Elishaphat ben Zichri. We have a whole group of leaders that he gathers together. And what he does is he places them into a covenant. That means to say he makes them agree on keeping secrecy and agreeing to this mission. And then he shows them that they're going to now put the Ben Hamelech, the son of Amatziah, who is Yoash, onto the throne. What does he do? So he turns to the Mishmaros. Those are the Kohanim and Levim. As you remember, they come in groups for a week's work. The changeover is on Shabbos after the Korban Musaf in the Beis HaMikdash. So the one group of Kohanim and Levim leave, the one group of Kohanim and Levim enter. So what he suggests is that one third of the new group and two thirds of the old group will be a honor guard or a real guard actually for this young king, and they're going to escort him, surrounding him there with their weapons to bring him into their kingship. And so such is what happens is they protect him, they surround him, and they bring him to this stand, which is where in the center of the Beis HaMikdash, and they place a crown on his head, Vesal Eidos, and this testimony, and they anoint him as a king and cry out, Yechi HaMelech, let the king live. So who is Yehoyada and why is he doing this? So the Abarbanel actually makes a fascinating observation in Sefer Melachim, that Yehoshava, or Yehoshba'as, had different ways of saying her name, is actually, so she's the daughter of Ataliyahu, the sister of Amatziah, she's the one who saves this young boy, she's also the wife of Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. So on the one hand, she is being loyal to her husband, to the nation of Israel, by doing this, and therefore her husband takes up this call of duty against her mother, and her mother's family. So this is what happens. That's why she is hidden. That's why Yehoyada is the one who takes action. He was obviously waiting for Yoash to be old enough to make him the king. What's the whole procedure? So the Radak explains that the Avodah does need to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it can't be that anything is amiss in the Beis HaMikdash for the Avodah that day. So he leaves half of the incoming group, which is to be doing the Avodah, which means to say that half of that group is available and the full outgoing group is available. So that's the third, two-thirds split, which is happening over here. What is this covenant that he's making with them? So Rashi says that they agree to coronate the king, even before they meet the king as well. And why are they so concerned about guarding him? So Abarbanel again makes a fascinating observation. And he says that, in fact, Ataliyahu did have children from another husband, which is really news, because that really makes a big difference, which is could explain why was that she poisoned her own grandchildren. But nonetheless, she apparently wanted this new family to take the throne, not the family through the line of David. And that new family had made a peretz in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning to say that they had the right, we'll call legal right under her to enter the Beis HaMikdash when and where they wanted. So they had to be careful against that as being a threat, which is why they're doing this. what is the edus that they put upon this young king? So the Barbanel explains it could be a Sefer Torah, like a king is supposed to wear or have upon him, or it could mean the royal garb to demonstrate that he is the king. One interesting question, which should be a question we should have realized and thought about, is why does a king who is a prince require Meshicha? Once a king dies, their son automatically becomes king without there being the need for a new anointing. So the Barbanel points out that this is because there is a break in the kingship, so it's necessary to reorganize and recalibrate who in fact is that king. That's what the Barbanel points out. We do see this as well when it comes to Adonia and Shlomo HaMelech. When there's dispute as well, then a Meshicha, an anointing, also does take place. We then hear in Psukim Yud Beis to Tesvav, where Ataliyahu hears about this. She hears the going and coming, and she comes and she sees what's happening. She sees the trumpets playing. She sees the people saying Yechi HaMelech, and she tears her clothes and she says Kesher, Kesher, which understood, as Rashi explains, means merit. It means a rebellion as well. It also should be interesting to note the word kesher means a knot or a tying, which could mean the fact that people are banding together against the monarch. But it could also just mean, in a dramatic irony, that the line of David is being reconnected as well. That's not what she meant, but that's also just an interesting connection here. So Yehoyada says, take her out. She will not be killed in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what they do. They take her out to the Shar HaSusim, the horse gate, and they kill her there. And finally, we hear the end of the parak now, Psukim Tes Zayin to Chof Aleph, where Yehoyada now makes a new covenant with the people, and he goes out and with all the people goes and destroys the altars, the images that she had created, and the Matan, the Kohen Abal. So she had a priest for the Baal worship who was really involved in this pagan worship. He was killed as well. And we hear this whole description of all the sacrifices that are brought back, like in the times of the Torah, and the gatekeepers of the Levium are brought back and reinstated into their positions because this had been all on recess. And finally, at the end of the parak, we're told how the people, Vayismuchu Am Ha'aretz, the people are rejoicing, and the city quiets down, and Ataliyahu is killed by the sword. Whether that means to say this is describing what had happened, or that she was on deathbed, and now they went and really killed her, as the Mefarshim discussed. But it's a fascinating description here. Where did all those Avodah Zarah come from? So Rashi quotes and says that it really means to say that she was the one who brought all the Avodah Zarah in. Ataliyahu not only had a political but also a spiritual agenda over here, and that's what happened. Whereas the Radak says this wasn't just Ataliyahu, this was already generations that slowly but surely the Mishmaros, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, as David and Shlomo had intended it, was coming to a standstill, and this is already something that had been intact for generations now, unfortunately, until the point that Yehoyada was able to reestablish it under the guidance of Yehoyada now bringing the king Yoash to be the next king of Israel. This concludes Perek Chof Gimel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.